And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hurry, hurry! Bob! Robert! Dean! Yoo-hoo! Cuckoo! Cuckoo! The clock says dinner!
Daryl!
Roy! Can you hear me? You get yourself in here right now!
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, January 26th, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the yard, and alongside me, thanks to the power of technology, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you!
We've also got the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo!
And last but not least, making the magic happen, from Toronto, it's Jerome.
Hello.
What's up, my guy?
Not much. I thought you would enjoy some 2017 Iowa husband calling competition finalists.
I think the woman great. Screaming Daryl should have won, if I'm being honest.
Daryl, yeah. I felt, was the winner. But I think the actual winner ended up being just someone who was like very specific, you know, like get yourself down here, things like that. I also wanted to use it as like a launch point of like, how do you guys get called in the house? Is it a text? Is it a yell?
Yeah, there are a lot of texts being thrown around in our house instead of yelling, despite living on one floor. Like, I can't be all that far from my wife. I could call her right now. She'd hear me. If you want her on the podcast, you want to get the dog and Nora in here, let's do it. No.
If we want to start the competition top three right now, just call the wife calling.
Local wife calling. Laura just yells Daryl at the top of her lungs, and I know she's talking to me.
Well, shout out to the stream team joining us live right now here on YouTube. We love to see it. Hit the like button. Help us out in the algorithm and subscribe to No Dunks as we march on to 70,000 subs. Get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com and get yourself a subscription to The Athletic, the greatest sports writing in the world. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. We got lots here to get into. Obviously, the games, got some news. Trey's got a fun Top Shot segment a little bit later. But first, guys, it had been a while. We had a wedgie last night, and let's just let the Pelicans broadcast take it away.
Over to help out on the weak side. You got a 5-on-4. It'll be CJ, the hot hand. And a wedgie.
We got a wedgie!
It'll be a jump ball with a minute 59 to play in the half.
There you go. CJ McCollum sticking wedgie number 28 off the three in transition. It had been over 2 weeks since we'd had a wedgie, and CJ McCollum becomes also the second player this season to stick his second wedgie. Now it's Westbrook and CJ and Tass. I know you're loving Joel Myers on the call there. A man's got to have a dog. A man's got to have a wedgie.
Well, Joel Myers, I think, really cursed CJ McCollum there, saying CJ with the hot hand shoves a wedgie in there. But I got to love Antonio Daniels right beside him. Yep. Screaming wedgie, loving it, making Joel laugh. Because you got to laugh when somebody yells wedgie, no matter what the situation. It's like our cold opens when we're going all farts, which has been recently. You know, right. You got to chuckle at that. You got to chuckle at a wedgie.
I want to, not congratulations, but thank you, I guess, to TK too, and to everybody that sent in that wedgie. I didn't see it, and I think my Twitter was screwed up. One of the first things I usually do in the morning is to scroll the No Dunks Twitter account to see if people are letting us know about a wedgie I may have missed. And I don't know. I don't know what's going on, Musk, but I wasn't seeing this. But thankfully, Trey Kirby had his eye on it, and it was working for you.
Yeah, it wasn't through Twitter that I saw it either, Skeets. I just fired up the recap from last night, and it made the House of Highlights recap, the wedgie did. How exciting is that? What a glow up for the wedgie. Also, you know, to take it off the NBA court, I played pickup basketball last night. First jump shot I took, tried to go glass, got all wedgie. My first wedgie of 2023 as well. Exciting night.
Wow. Did the game didn't stop? You didn't take a photo? I'm sort of surprised.
I yelled wedgie, but unfortunately, my phone was on the other side of the court, so I had to run and go get it, leave all the shorter people there to try and get the ball down. Okay. So not quick enough, though.
Okay.
Amazing.
Okay.
We don't need Twitter anymore. Don't need it. It's happening naturally.
Yeah, it's good. I know people on Instagram did tag us and or at least, you know, message us and stuff like that. And there were some tweets I saw. So thank you to everybody keeping us on our toes. If you see a wedgie, you let us know at No Dunks Inc. or on Twitter, Instagram, or yeah, just hope that House of Highlights clips it and,
that's right.
and puts it up.
Yeah, okay. Thanks to us. We've popularized it. So now everybody's just clicking it.
Yeah. Let's get into the games. Lots of fun ones, I think, to start with. We'll end with Jordan Poole. We'll begin with Jordan Poole. Ending the game is what I meant with the buzzer beater. Very close to it, at least. I guess there was a second left. At the end, to lift the Warriors past the Grizzlies, Tassie. This one had a Steph Curry ejection. You know, some great shot making down the stretch. NBA Rivals Week is the chef's kiss. I mean, it was one of the best things the NBA's done in a while. And this game was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I thought NBA Rivals Week was just going to be a big joke. Let's be honest. I thought it was just something inserted into the season, sort of like the midseason tournament idea that we'd all go, okay, it happened. But you know, January, it's a bit of a coma part of the season. I wouldn't say it's a dead part of the season, but it's, you know, kind of comatose. And this has helped out. Maybe the NBA got a little lucky because Simmons played Embiid for the first time, which we'll get to. And Grizzlies, Warriors on Christmas Day didn't have Steph. So this one had a little extra juice. But this is a true rivalry. And I think the Grizzlies, as that up-and-coming team that everybody loves to hate, I think they got to feel real good, even if they lost this game. They're up 10 midway through the fourth quarter on the road. They should have home court advantage against the Warriors team if they play in the playoffs. Morant got what he wanted, dropping 29. I thought Desmond Bane was a great playmaker. That's what I'm always watching for when I'm watching the Grizzlies. Do they have a second guy to make plays if you try and take away Morant? And Desmond Bane, despite the line, I thought did a great job of that. Jaren Jackson Jr. had to play center in this game. He did foul out because of that, but he won't have to do that in the playoffs when Steven Adams is healthy. And just further to that, they can play small with Jaren Jackson Jr. at center with the Warriors. If the Warriors try and go Poole into the starting lineup like they did, or they can go big and play Steven Adams. And Brandon Clark came in there as their third big and played phenomenal. I didn't like when they called him Clark on the call because he's a real two-name guy. Who the hell is Clark? It's Brandon Clark, but I thought he was phenomenal. If they didn't give it away with 11 free throws missed, especially late, including Desmond Bane, then they win this game. But NBA Rivals Week, it's alive. It's alive. And you know what's really weird? It's Tuesday through Saturday. What? It doesn't include Monday. There's no rivals on Monday, and there's no rivals on Sunday. If I'm not mistaken, definitely not Monday. Maybe it's Tuesday through Sunday. But anyway, it's a real weird one. But it's still going pretty well. No, it's Tuesday through Saturday. I was right. Anyways, it's going well.
Trey, any thoughts on the Warriors pulling this off? Like maybe Jaren Jackson Jr., if he's out there, or Adams, of course, is playing, they get a rebound at the end too? Because how many chances did the Warriors get on offensive, long offensive rebounds at that to give him another chance?
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of an impressive win for the Warriors considering they had 21 turnovers. Like you're saying, Skeets, they hit the glass, 14 offensive rebounds to make up for it, but to steady themselves after a Curry ejection pretty late into the game. I thought that was pretty good, especially because for a second there, it felt like Jordan Poole was trying to win the game completely by himself to me, taking some wild shots, which is what got Curry ejected, if you really think about it.
Yeah.
You got to take a bad shot to get your teammate ejected. But he's so fired up about it. But they steadied the ship. Klay hit a huge shot. He was kind of instrumental, I thought, in being able to hold off the Grizzlies down the stretch. And then an awesome cut by Jordan Poole, seeing that Zaire Williams was playing him to go to the perimeter. Nobody underneath the hoop, gets to the rack, great pass, finishes, tough finish. Smart play by Poole to completely redeem himself after getting Curry kicked out of the game.
Yeah. Do you think Steph Curry, I mean, you guys had kids. I guess they've maybe moved out of this phase, but like the the baby pacifier with like, there's like a strap connected to it. Yeah, the clip. So if your baby drops it, it just like doesn't go onto the ground. Curry needs this, I feel like, because this is the third time he's been ejected, all to do with him chucking his mouth guard, which he's always just chomping on anyway. You got some thoughts on this, Jerome?
On that, yeah, definitely you need to have a strap there. But I think like also too, the point is like you need it to be dramatic. So it needs to be like a throw. It needs to disappear. I mean, if you're a fan in the crowd, you get to have like an ejection mouth guard, I suppose. Like that's a really gross souvenir that you could come out with. But no, I think like the strap obviously has practical use, but I think it reduces the effect of an ejection at that point. Like it
right.
needs to be-
And how do you feel about... You know, Curry's like, why am I getting ejected? It's not like I really hit anybody. You know, like, because he has hit people before. I mean, in the
right.
playoff game, he pinged somebody there in the
like
crowd.
Right in the
it was
chest.
But this one, he does chuck down the court, and I think it bounced sort of into the crowd, but at the feet of people. Tash, do you have an opinion on that? Or it's like, hey, man, you chuck your mouth guard into the stands, be it at the feet or the face, you're out of here.
I think it is hilarious how he's trying to defend chucking a mouth guard in the proper direction, no ejection. But it just depends where you chuck it. I thought when he first started defending himself
that you're allowed to stay with
totally. I thought when he first started defending himself that he threw it to his own bench was his first reasoning. I'm like, okay.
Hang on to this.
Okay, I'm sort of buying that, but you chuck, you're out, I guess. I mean, it's so weird because he pulls it out of his mouth to jaw at the refs, too, because the refs can't hear him. It's like our old man Lee Ellis when he was playing on the court. Har, 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 har. You can't understand what he's saying. But he pulled it out. And so he always pulls it. He's ready to pull it out. He's ready to run around screens with it half in his mouth.
I know. I don't know why he has it. I mean, just chew gum. I mean, he's just chewing on the thing all the time. He almost never has it, it feels like, in his actual mouth. It's always just dangling out.
It's always dangling or causing an ejection. I wonder if the move is to just go with a straight up spike of the mouth guard, like straight down. That way it stays within the boundaries of the court. Can't be ejected then, right?
You might get a tech. Yeah. I guess still at the
It really depends on
minimum.
The bounce. Like how hard it bounces.
That's all about the bounce.
Like that, at that point,
yeah.
I mean, the other reason I came back on is I wanted to find out if you guys got introduced to Jordan Poole's doppelganger.
No.
Who you
well,
got?
Let me introduce you here.
Let's
to
see.
Jordan Puddle.
Oh my god.
Jordan Puddle.
Puddle is incredible name. For those listening to the podcast, this is someone there in the crowd that does look like Jordan Poole.
Oh, he was identified during the broadcast
on
Twitter as being, I mean, like essentially in fake clay fashion.
Yeah.
So I mean the Warriors, they run deep. Not just in roster, but also in fake versions of themselves.
Oh, that's so good too, because he's wearing the round specs, the round glasses, like Jordan Poole wears off the court. So it is like his, you know, Chris Paul, Cliff Paul personality.
Good.
It's his other look.
Jordan Puddle. Is he wearing a Jordan Poole jersey too? Do we know that?
Oh, tough to see.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You would assume he's aware of it. Like people must have pointed out. So yeah. And shout out to him, like, renaming himself at the end of the game to Jordan Puddle. That's
very good.
Yeah.
As for the Grizzlies here, Tass, you sounded like you weren't worried at all. You actually thought it was sort of impressive how they hung around and had control of the game, looked like they were going to win it. You don't think they need to make a move here around the wing position? Like, is Zaire Williams going to cut it and Roddy and those guys? Like, or should they really be aggressive? And, like, and I don't know if OG could be, you know, acquired if you had enough to make that happen, but like a small forward, defensive minded guy to really like push all your chips in with a somewhat of an opening here in a Western Conference, or do you think they got enough to get it done?
Yeah, I had the hots for an acquisition like a steady Freddy, like a Harrison Barnes type guy, to maybe just play some backup minutes, or you know, if Dylan Brooks ain't going right, to take his minutes,
right?
But you know, you guys talked me into the fact that Dylan Brooks is sort of their energy guy, they're, you know, kind of like Draymond Green is for the Warriors, and he's there to piss people off. And so as a backup, they want Zaire Williams not to screw up again. They are getting Danny Green back, if that means anything. You know, he is He is coming back soon. He does have the championship pedigree. He could be in there to chip in. And maybe you don't want to mess with the chemistry of what they got going on. I mean, they love Dylan Brooks, and that would be the guy that you would think would be out of the lineup, or he would lose minutes if they acquired somebody. So I'm kind of fine with it for now. Like, I know we want to anoint them the champs and try and go tell them to, you know, push all in. You got an opportunity here, but, you know, they are coming along at a good pace. They won a series, you know, so I think they will stay with the dudes that they love and see what happens in the offseason.
What about maybe even Jay Crowder on this team? I think that makes sense. Obviously, could get him for much less than a potential OG or something like that. But Trey, any thoughts on the Grizzlies' makeup as of now?
I think they absolutely need to upgrade the wing. Zaire Williams, that was a pretty bad game. I think he finished 1-for-7. Obviously, had the botched job with Poole back cutting him there for the game-winning layup. He just looks like a young player. He was one of the youngest guys in his draft last season, and he's really, really struggled so far this season, shooting under 30%. The Grizzlies are going to have to put shooters on the court when it comes playoff time, and I don't necessarily know that you're going to be able to just cycle through all of these different bench guys that have had successful runs this season and last season. You want somebody who you can absolutely rely on. So I think it's worth giving Danny Green a bit of a run, but they need somebody that's more in the 3-4 zone, I think. And I don't think that'll eat into Brooks' minutes at all. He'll still be their 2-3 guarding guy. They just need that kind of swing forward because Williams is just not quite ready yet. And they do have a chance, I think, if they're able to beef up their scoring in the half court for the most part. Because, yeah, Bane had a nice game, but the thing that stuck out to me is, like, it finally hit me last night that if Vin Diesel played basketball, he would move exactly like Desmond Bane. They have the same body. That stuck out to me. And also Jonathan Kuminga completely stuck out to me. I thought he was a bit of a game changer for the Warriors. I think he ended up shooting 5-for-6 for the field, 13 points, 4 assists, a couple of rebounds, a couple of highlight dunks, an incredible tip-in rebound. He looked like the most athletic guy out on the court, which is pretty impressive when you're playing against the Grizzlies team. Get this guy in the dunk contest. He could be the fourth person chosen. Kuminga, impressive game.
Still looking for that fourth dunker.
Yeah, and he goes to the bench as soon as Andrew Wiggins is healthy because he's not playing. So I think the Warriors are showing they got some depth, even though people are talking about them upgrading their bench. Anthony Lamb looking great off the bench. They got to guarantee his contract. DiVincenzo looking good. Jamichael Green, if he can dunk an alley-oop, he will look good. I think they've got, you know, a decent amount there, even if they are looking to upgrade a little bit. But, yeah, no Wiggins, no Steven Adams. I think we got a note. And even Steph, I thought it would have been it looked like it was going to be one of those bad Steph games. He had 2 fouls in the first minute, and it looked like he could have been frustrated from the get-go, not just at the end. But he obviously rectified that real quick, stayed on the floor with 2 fouls for a bit, and ended 10 of 19 for 34 points. So a solid game for him.
Let's move over to Damian Lillard, scoring a season high, 60 points. Yeah, that happened last night. Blazers beat the Jazz 134-124. Lillard needed just 29 shot attempts and 10 free throw attempts to score 60, which I saw Pelton writing at ESPN, puts him in elite company. Just two other players, Karl Malone in 1990 and James Harden in 2019, have reached 60 points on fewer shot attempts. And both those guys did a lot of work at the free throw line in those games. You know, Lillard only taking 10, hitting 9 of the 10, is really, really rare. Mad efficient here. They needed all of them for the most part. Jazz were hanging around. And I don't know, maybe this kicks off like another 2 or 3 week stretch here, Trey, where Damian Lillard reminds everyone just the scoring machine that this guy can be.
This is how you do an all-star push, Skeets. You know, Lillard is going to be on the borderline, I think, all-star-wise, just because the Blazers don't have an incredible record. He's missed a little bit of time. But he's really turned it on lately, kind of since we've started seeing fan returns for voting, and then 60 last night, plus 8 assists. That's just like, that's almost a 10-assist game as well with a 60-point game. I thought his shot chart and the shots he were getting looked hilarious. He took like one step in three or step in two from the corner. He had another one where he was cutting baseline, and I think Simons hit him on a pass for like a little 15-foot baseline jumper, a weird shot for Damian Lillard. Then everything else was either a three-pointer or a layup at the rim. There was nobody in the Jazz backcourt who could stay in front of Lillard, and obviously he was feeling quick and fast because as soon as he would put a single move on the perimeter, it was downhill immediately to the rim, finishing at the rim. Great stuff from Lillard.
Tass, you disappeared there for a second, but any thoughts on Lillard's 60?
You guys handled it oh so well while I was gone. I don't know if I'm going to repeat Trey here, but Jason Quick talked to Damian Lillard after the game, and he said it was a simple 60.
Yes.
And yeah. And watching it back this morning, he really did just take what the defense gives him and gave him, and he compared it to his other three 60-point games in his career, 61 versus the Mavs in the play-in tourney, 61 versus the Warriors without C.J. McCollum and Nurkic, where he had to force it both times to try and get his team across the line, then 60 versus the Nets, which I just think happened naturally. But, yeah, watching this shots by quarter, it went 6, 7, 11, and 15, 29 shots, 27 points from 3, 24 from 2, 9 from the line. Ridiculously efficient, ridiculously just in out, an incredible flow last night.
Yeah, I mean, this is like one of the most efficient games ever for a guy scoring that many points. Like, I don't want to gloss over that fact. Despite not even leading the show with a guy that went for 60 last night, like, that's where we're at now in the NBA. It's like, it's impressive, don't get me wrong, but it's like we've had a lot of 50s and 60s, and it's just like, wow. It's, I don't know. You have to take a second to remind yourself, this is not normal as much as it feels like it is. I mean, I guess this is only our third 60-point game this year with Donovan Mitchell 71, and then Luka and Dame, I think, with the 60s, yeah.
Yeah, Embiid had a 59, but yeah. I mean, in the month of January, Lillard has a 50-point game, two 40-point games, now a 60-point game, not to mention, numerous 20s and 30s as well. I think my favorite basket was when he made a three-pointer to go from 47 to 50 points. And where he took it, it looked like he was standing on the ad that said McDelivery for the 50 ball. I was like, if you make that shot to hit 50 points, they should bring in a 50-piece nugget for you.
Yeah.
Stop the game. You earned it, buddy.
Yeah, oh, we got a McDelivery coming later on in the show. Literally, if somebody walking on the floor with McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he also, usually when we talk about these games, the guy is usually going for a certain number at the end, and he hit 60, and he didn't go for his career high at the end. Decided not to.
Billups wanted him 61.
To. Yeah, it seemed like it.
Yeah, gave him a chance. He's like, yeah, 60 sounds cool. Respect. All right, let's move on here. Anthony Davis returned to the Lakers, and Rui Hachimura played in his first game with the Lakers. AD scored 21. Looked all right, I thought, as the Lakers beat the Spurs. Tass, thoughts on AD and maybe even Rui there in his debut for LA?
This is how you do it if you're the Lakers. You come in before your rival week game just to get a little warm up. Anthony Davis comes in the game before they play the Celtics Saturday night national TV. Get the legs going. I thought the block shots were the most impressive thing. The defense is lacking for this team at times, and his four block shots, he looked ridiculously healthy. And here's the question now. It's January 26th. If this team wants to make a run, he's got to be healthy for a little under 5 months if they want to go deep into the postseason and go to an NBA Finals. And I think that's the one thing that I sort of forget about when you look at the championship run. Because it was the pandemic year, they had all sorts of time off before they went to the bubble, and he just had to be healthy for 2 months. And obviously, he was, and he was amazing. And now he's got to string together months that he doesn't usually do. He doesn't usually put together 5-plus months of complete health, and they're going to need that if they're going to climb the standings because, yeah, they're not far out of it, as we all know, as we always talk about. But at the same time, you got to have consistency. And, listen, they weathered it really well without him, and now it's going to be really interesting to see if he plays with Thomas Bryant because Bryant's been playing well. They're going to start him in at the 4-5. Darvin Ham is saying Rui Hachimura is likely to start at some point. So that would mean LeBron at the 4, Hachimura at the 3. And Hachimura came off the bench along with Anthony Davis. And yeah, solid game, just hitting open shots. And that's what he's got to do. He looks like a scorer out there. So his average is what he hit yesterday, 12-6-1. a perfect Rui game. And yeah, warm up for Saturday night. ABC, LA, Boston. Good job, Rivals Week schedulers.
To the end of Rivals Week, we will toast.
Yeah, that's the commence. That's the end of it.
Look, with AD, we had a scare with him at the end of the third quarter. I don't know if you saw him attempt a three-pointer near center court. He's fouled by Zach Collins, who was assessed a flagrant one for taking away AD's landing space. But that contact caused AD to fall to the floor. Looked like that right ankle, you know, the same leg that kept him out there for a while. It looked like it sprained or twisted. But he did stay in the game, made all of his free throws. And he said after the game, quote, "Foot is fine, ankle is fine, body feels good." But I was like, oh, God, this guy just comes back and he's already down. But, yeah, I guess it was just a little tweak. Any thoughts, Trey, on AD or Rui or the Lakers?
Yeah, I mean, I think good for both of them. Not spectacular by any means, but, like, Anthony Davis scored in a variety of ways. He hit a three when everybody was collapsed around LeBron. Like Tass said, the defense and the rebounding were major, which is probably the most important thing that Anthony Davis is going to bring to this Lakers team, make him a more respectable defense. And then I thought Rui Hachimura did what he's going to need to do to be effective with the Lakers. He did hit one catch and shoot three. He had an ISO bucket at one point. He was running in transition. Eventually he'll figure out how to catch these delicious passes from LeBron James and throw down a dunk instead of a reverse layup. But for, you know, maybe not the toughest opponent, I thought it was a smart play by the Lakers. Bring these couple of guys in together, get them a little bit of run with LeBron, and ramp up, try to keep everybody healthy and on the same page, because now they've got at least options in the starting lineup, right? You could bring Rui off the bench and go with a very big lineup with Thomas Bryant and AD. AD, of course, has been playing a lot better when he's the center out there, so I think that will be the long-term plan will be to go with that little bit of smaller lineup, but at least Darvin Ham can make some choices now.
And we wait and see, Tass, if the Lakers and Pelinka move off of Westbrook, Lonnie Walker, or Patrick Beverley, along with one or two of those future first-round picks. Do they make a move? Are they aggressive? Do they try and get a Hield or a Zach LaVine? I saw rumors floating around. Like, are they ready to move off of those and try and get a player that could help them win a championship or at least go far in the playoffs? We'll see. We don't know. We've been talking about it all season long, but now's the time to find out over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, those are floating rumors that I'm not buying. That obviously Zach loves LA, but maybe a few weeks ago when things weren't great for Zach, I mean, probably like 6 weeks ago, but Rob Pelinka looked really happy sitting beside Rui Hachimura at the press conference there. Big smile.
He's always like that, though.
He's got a very big smile whenever they... Yeah, yeah. I think he hasn't been allowed the last few months to smile, though, because he hasn't made a move for LeBron. But now I think he's basically said, "Hey, LeBron, you got your guy. Go win that ship." I think that's it.
You got your guy? Your guy is Rui Hachimura. Wow.
You got your guy.
All right. By the way, speaking of LeBron, he was held to 20 points, his lowest output since November 4th, I believe, but he is 158 points shy of surpassing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's 38,387. So just if you're keeping track of that, I know our WhatsApp chat was popping off this morning where the guys are trying to figure out, when's he going to do it? When's it going to happen? It's going to happen at home against the Bucks right before the All-Star break, right? So it's 6 or 7 games, basically. Maybe 5 to 7 games with this guy. So, getting close. Okay. Final game here, though. We can touch on any of the other ones if you want to. We had James Harden and Tyrese Maxey leading the 76ers past the Nets. 137-133. Tass, you already alluded to it. Rivalry week, baby. We finally got Joel Embiid versus Ben Simmons. And it was fun. There was some, like, exchanging of words and some bumps. And, hell, there was a DX crotch chop in there. Degeneration. So, you know, it was nice that these guys finally played against each other. And, God, the game took forever. It took so long, this game. But it was close in the end because the Nets were hanging around. And it was a fun finish.
Steph Curry gets ejected for throwing a mouth guard. Joel Embiid can hump the air all he wants. No big deal. It was like a triple hump. No big deal.
Three good suckets.
He went for it. You know it's NBA Rivals
anniversary of Raw, so they're letting anything slide this week. You know, it's Royal Rumble week. They're like, get your wrestling references in now.
Yeah.
Next week, it's a $25,000 fine.
Damn, I didn't catch that cross promotion. It's totally true.
Embiid in the Royal Rumble? Woo.
Wow, making an appearance?
Yeah, why not?
I love it.
He would love it. I think Daryl Morey would okay that. You know, sometimes you got in contracts, guys can't snowboard or whatever in the offseason. Yeah. He would let him go. Daryl Morey's cool like that. But I think it was clear it was NBA Rivals Week. The first 2 minutes, because the Nets switch everything, Nick Claxton, who's guarding Joel Embiid, comes in and picks Ben Simmons, and Ben Simmons gets switched on to Joel Embiid. And I think Joel Embiid got freaking excited to take it to his old teammate. And that's why he missed. He wasn't great against Ben Simmons those first couple possessions in the post. But yeah, I think that just overall the Sixers were a little too, just a little too excited. And especially Embiid, he was jawing at Nick Claxton. Apparently said to Nick Claxton, "Say that again to my face." And Nick Claxton did not say it again to his face, according to Joel Embiid. He pumped that air. Seth Curry, who was involved in that trade, was talking trash to his former teammates, dancing in front of the bench, and Harden really was the guy who put it away. Also part of that trade. Sometimes I forget that he was traded from the Nets to Philly. But in a game where Embiid didn't have it, 6 of 18, the supporting cast really came through. And of course, not PJ Tucker. He doesn't score. But the other guys: Harris 7 of 11, Melton 7 of 10, Maxey 8 of 14 off the bench with 6 threes, and then Harden closed out the game after they gave up that double digit lead. In the last 4 minutes, Harden had 2 step-back threes and then a blow-by layup. He looked fast going by Royce O'Neal. And it was a game where they did not deserve to win. I really think they, you know, we're all up in the emotional part of the game. They let the Nets shoot 64% from the floor. They didn't play defense. That's the first time that an NBA team lost shooting 64% since 1982.
Wow.
Per StatMuse. 40 years. When you shoot 64, I mean, they hit basically 2 of 3 shots. They shot really well from 3-2. But the Sixers were, I don't know. They weren't into it, but they ended up winning because of those other guys, which is what they want. You want a game like this where Embiid doesn't have it going, but the other dudes come through.
Well, they also won because they just put so much pressure on the other team at getting to the line, be it Embiid or their other guys. They shot 35 of 36 at the free throw line. Like, that's how you win a game where the other team shoots 65% basically from the floor. And I mean, I thought Claxton played really well, but got into foul trouble, of course, going against the monster and Embiid. But Simmons getting in foul trouble and all that, and it was just that's tough. And which makes for honestly an ugly watch too. There's a lot of free throws. There's a lot of stops. There's all these technicals. It's fun on one hand because it does seem like they hate each other and you got the crowd booing Ben Simmons, but on the other hand, it just, oh my god, it just took so long. Thankfully the Nets did, like, they went on that run and it was suddenly, I couldn't believe it was a tie game. Like, it was like, and Doris Burke, credit to her, she kept calling it out during the broadcast, like, Nets are hanging around, like, Sixers are not putting them away. And in the end, Philly, led by Harden, like you said, tasked with those threes and the setup at the end, that got it done. Any thoughts, TK?
Yeah, you know, the only time any defense was played in this game was in the fourth quarter when the Nets went to zone for a little bit and it threw the Sixers off. Both of these teams were basically at 100 points at the end of three quarters. That's definitely more of a Nets game than a Sixers game. Mm-hmm. But my main takeaway is that NBA players and coaches are big-time liars. It's Rivals Week and nobody wants to admit that they're rivals. The Grizzlies and Warriors won't give each other credit, saying it's not a rivalry at all. Doc Rivers said, yeah, we're past that. We're totally past the Ben Simmons trade from last year. Nobody cares anymore. What a liar. Nobody cared more about it than Joel Embiid last night. And you could tell right away he was going at Simmons. It was awesome to actually watch them match up on each other. And I also felt like Embiid was playing more post-up basketball than face-up basketball. He was like, I'm going to be a big badass inside rather than doing sweet moves and, you know, playing my usual take what they give me kind of game. He was forcing the issue. They were all beefing and getting in each other's faces. I thought there were some weak double techs in this game, a weak technical on Simmons with George Niang as well. So it's funny to me that it is Rivals Week. This felt like a very rivalry game. They just won't admit it until it's over.
Well, I think Ben Simmons, he needs the NBA to call every week Rivals Week, because that was like some of the fiercest basketball we've seen from Ben Simmons for a good stretch of this game too. Like, he was actually locked in and attacking and like hitting free throws and stuff like that. So yeah, they're lying if they didn't, if they're trying to say this was just a normal late January game. Like they obviously wanted to prove a point. It even was like Kevin Durant is basically live tweeting the game, and then Joel Embiid is, before he talks to the media after the game, is like, haha, gets off a suck it response to Kevin Durant. Like I mean. On one hand, I hope these teams meet in the playoffs. On the other, I don't, because it'll be just like a... Well, I guess it's a little different with KD in there, but it's not pretty basketball. I'll just put it that way. But if you hate each other, then it makes for a fun fight.
It was disappointing that Jacques Vaughn didn't play Ben Simmons down the stretch. He literally didn't play the last 9 minutes of the game. And I think Doc Rivers would force... Like, if the situation was reversed, Doc would have played him and forced him to play down the stretch. He didn't want, you know, multiple non-shooters on the floor, but he just had his best stretch there in the third quarter. He didn't really have much going offensively in the first half, but in the third quarter, he got it going. 10 points, and didn't play at the end because they wanted shooting.
Well, they needed scoring because they were, like, down 7 or 8 points there for a majority of it, and, like, you needed Curry and Kyrie and those guys, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the weird thing about playing Ben. Oh, we need scoring, but now we're going to sit him down. And Kyrie was balling, obviously, that beautiful finish there to tie it up at the end. And, yeah, they weren't talking it up beforehand, but Doc Rivers did say he wanted to smack Seth Curry, his son-in-law, after the game. He said, I was going to go over and see my grandkids on Sunday, but I think I'm going to go smack Seth Curry instead because he just put 30 on us. So, you know, that's old school. Coach can get away with that. I don't know if players can say, I want to smack that guy. But
Seth Curry has some fascinating facial hair going on right now. I really noticed that last night. It's like he has a beard, but there's parts where it's not there. And like the goes really high up his face, too. Just a final note on that game.
It feels like it runs in the family.
Yeah, yeah. Trae Young, 33 points. High-scoring game against the Thunder. Hawks got it done. Kyle Kuzma, 33 points. Wizards beat the Rockets. Giannis helped the Bucks beat the shorthanded Nuggets. No Jokic in this one. 8-point victory for them. Wolves spoiled Brandon Ingram's return. He did come back. It looked a little rusty. Pelicans lost 111-102 to Minnesota. And then, wow, Raptors. That's the old Raptors. They went into Sacramento and took care of business. Maybe their best game of the year, especially on the defensive end. Siakam scored 26. Any thoughts on any of those five games, Tass?
Raps swallowing the Kings. They were everywhere watching that back. My goodness. But the Brandon Ingram thing is great on one hand. 2 months that he missed coming back. But now they got to win some games. They are the one team that has come back to the pack in the Western Conference. Denver and Memphis, clear. Kings, sort of clear. But New Orleans has come back because they're 3-11 over their last 14 games, lost 6 straight. So that's what I'm watching. I know we talked about the happiest fan bases, and I thought the Pels, you know, you could stick them in there. But definitely an inflection point here, a worrisome part of the season, because they could plummet. They could miss the playoffs without Zion for a while. They need Brandon Ingram to step up. And he was 4 of 18 yesterday. It's fine, one game. But hopefully he can come back and help them out, because I thought they were sort of like the Kings. We were talking about them as the best story of the season. Like, what was it, 5 weeks ago? They were first in the West. And now they're sort of with the big chunkers, the glut. What are people calling it? The
Great Midwest?
Yeah. This is very good. This is very good. They're part of the mids right now, yeah. So hopefully they can play ball a little bit better.
I thought that was a really nice win for the Timberwolves, and I thought Gobert was awesome. He was good on defense, but his offensive game was actually pretty effective last night. 17 points, 12 boards, 3 assists. I thought Kyle Anderson and Anthony Edwards did a really good job of looking to get him involved when the bigs stepped up to them. Rudy Gobert made multiple plays in the short role. Timberwolves, 9-4 in January, 8th in offense, 10th in defense.
There you go.
They're beating mostly bad teams. They've only got a couple of bad losses, though. But they seem to be doing okay. I saw Britt Robson had a tweet that this is the second best record that the Timberwolves have had after 50 games since 2004.
Holy.
Yeah,
this is like a bad year.
Yeah. Feels like a disappointing season, yeah, but it was like the Jimmy season when they went to the playoffs. Last year, they had the exact same record at the 50-game mark, and then this year, they're 500 again. So a nice win for the Timberwolves on the road against the Pelicans team that should have had a little more juice with getting Brandon Ingram back.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards, man, he is trying to make a late push here for an all-star selection, you know, getting picked by the coaches. Might be a little too late, especially with like some other great guards there, like Fox, and I guess Booker being injured maybe helps his case of sneaking in, but man, he's on one right now. It's great to see. All right, we're going to take our first break.
Hold on, I got two more takes. Sorry, buddy. Nice. Sorry, buddy, I got two more takes.
No.
The Magic beat the Pacers. I don't know if I heard that come up, but Buddy Hield stuffed the stat sheet again. 21 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, 0 blocks, but 6 made three-pointers. Would you be okay with calling that a 5x5 junior? Or a junior 5x5? You know, like you get a Whopper Junior, Junior Bacon Cheeseburger. It's a little bit smaller version of a 5x5.
No. I'm going to go no. Not in today's game with these threes. Everybody's hitting them.
That's a good point. Not in today's game with these threes. So I'm on Buddy Hield 5x5 watch until further notice. My other take, I've seen it a little bit in the stream team here. We got to bring it up. The NBA really dropped the ball with regards to scheduling the Nuggets and the Bucks. Denver was playing their third game in 4 nights last night. They went from Denver to New Orleans and then Milwaukee. Those last two were on a back-to-back. So Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray rest. We don't get to see Giannis versus Jokic. That's a bummer. Even worse, the next time they play in March, Milwaukee will be in their third game in 4 nights, traveling from Milwaukee to Utah to Denver. Utah-Denver back-to-back is like the worst one in the league. So you're not going to see Milwaukee's player playing that game against the Nuggets, which means we're not going to see Giannis versus Jokic. That's the last 4 MVPs.
Yeah.
And they're not going to play this season.
Yeah, no, that's a mistake there by the schedule makers. That's just another reason maybe to cut some games, get rid of these back-to-backs.
They gotta. Yeah. That's ridiculous. That's honestly ridiculous to not have the last 4 MVPs play against each other in a season.
Yeah.
Separate the games. Give them 3 and 5 nights. There are ways to do it.
Yeah.
The season starts later now, too. That's another weird part. Remember when they made a big deal about starting the season like 2 weeks earlier? They've just been pushing it back. And now the games are all chunked up together again, and we're robbed of matchups that really, really matter.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's only 2 ways to decide this. It's like, you either force these players to play, which goes against everything that they're trying to tell us about, like, saving their bodies and having them ready for playoff series and stuff like that. Or, you remove any possibility of them sitting because of back-to-backs by just taking it off the schedule. So either making the season longer and more space if you want to keep these 82 games, or like everybody else wants to do, just cut some games and make them more important.
I still think they will find a way to sit even if you reduce back-to-backs. They just will find.
Then you should only be able to sit at home.
You should only be able to sit at home. That's for sure.
Yeah,
yeah. I think it's sort of a happy medium. You start the season a month earlier. The NBA wants it to be a 12-month sport, and just make it longer. No back-to-backs that way, and they'll still find some spots. The home court rules is a decent rule. But that's probably a decent medium. The guys will have to come to work a month earlier, but they're already ready to play in the offseason anyway.
Yeah. All right, well, let's take our first break. When we come back, we're going to get into the Golden State Warriors and the possibility of them losing GM Bob Myers. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This is an interesting thought here from Josh, who messaged us on Instagram. I just saw it, talking about Rivals Week. Hey guys, longtime listener, first time caller. I love the idea of Rivals Week, but I think it could go even further. I want all four LA versus LA games to take place in Rivals Week. I think it could be great at galvanizing fans for the rest of the season. And since it's the same city, no one needs to travel. No extended road trips. So Josh wants just all four of the Lakers-Clippers games back to back to back to back within Rivals Week. You could do the same for the Nets and Knicks. You could pick some other teams and just have the entire series task baseball style in Rivals Week. Thoughts?
Here are my thoughts on Josh's Instagram message to us. Josh, I've had enough of these LA fans, to be honest. I've been seeing them all up in the comments, or I'm reading on The Athletic, the Anthony Davis report from yesterday. Here's a comment from Zachary O on The Athletic. 8 hours and 34 minutes ago, my great hope as one of many of the fans of both the Lakers and the Clippers is that both teams finish the season strong and injury-free and meet in the Western Conference Finals. This isn't just what the NBA needs. This is what the city of LA needs. Get out of here, Zach and Josh. There are other teams in the league, you know? They exist. Yep. No thanks, Josh.
Okay. Let's just move on. All right. The Athletic had a big article yesterday that popped off. Why the Warriors are in danger of losing Bob Myers. Gotta go check this one out. Go to theathletic.com/nodunk. Get yourself a subscription. Bob Myers remains without a contract with the Warriors beyond this season. And there is an increasing reality that he could leave the franchise. Sources tell The Athletic that Myers thinks he should be among the highest paid front office executives in the NBA. And according to their work and their sources, Myers ranks outside of the top five when it comes to executive salaries. He might be sixth, seventh, eighth. Bob Myers is doing okay. All right. He makes a lot of money, but this report here from our guys at The Athletic, possibly setting up tasks, the idea of hey, pay the man and put him in the top five, if not the highest paid executive, or this idea that he might be looking to go do something else completely. He's in the podcast game, or maybe go to another team and help them try and turn it around. I don't know. You had a chance to read this, Tass. Any thoughts on Bob Myers potentially leaving the Warriors?
Yeah, definitely read it. Of course, he had a successful career as an agent prior to joining the Warriors front office. So, he can do what he wants. He can enter the podcast game. Is it coincidence that he just dropped a pod with Steph Curry as his first guest? Maybe he's burnt out under the lights of a decade there. Also, the whole Draymond Green scenario, maybe it is a scenario where they're all sort of, air quotes, done to some degree. They're just kind of tired of it all. Maybe the agent life is a better life. I also just read on The Athletic from Mike Vorkunov that Mike Miller is Paolo Banchero's agent. Mm-hmm. Awesome read. I totally went past me this offseason that Mike Miller's working out with Banchero. And he's got that advantage over other agents. He's got that basketball connection.
Bob Myers is tall.
Yeah, he played. Yeah. Played at UCAA or UCLA. So get him out there. UCAA should be a school.
Might be.
Yeah, maybe.
A lot of schools out there. I'd love to see all the agents go head-to-head. I guess BJ Armstrong might have a chance out there as well.
Sounds like an All-Star Weekend event.
Agent ball.
Yeah.
Winner gets the hottest free agent client.
I like it.
Yeah, that's not bad. Not bad.
Trey, what are your takeaways?
My two takeaways is that, wow, this Warriors team really is the last dance. We got dynasty players being ushered out. It feels very much like this is a Joe Lacob organizations win championships sort of thing, with him being more and more involved in personnel decisions and maybe being a little reticent to pay Bob Myers his money. It doesn't go good when ownership starts valuing the wrong things and wants to prove that they are the reason for winning, When Bob Myers showed up to the Warriors, they were an absolute joke. 23 wins the season before Bob Myers showed up. And he completely changed the culture alongside Steph Curry and Steve Kerr, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. And it feels like three of those five are at least feeling like they may be on the way out. That is a problem. So bad stuff, I think, if I'm a Warriors fan. But the other part is that you got to be a little bit hopeful that this is a lot of people who want Bob Myers to stay around putting pressure on ownership to pay up, because the guy should probably be the highest paid GM in the league.
Yeah, that was one of my takeaways from this. And Bob Myers was not quoted in this article. I guess, you know, they obviously went to him and wanted to hear his thoughts, but he declined. But I was thinking reading this, like, yeah, there are people within that organization that want him to stick around and think he's deserving of being in this top five. And we're talking like at the level of like $10 million here, Tass, for a GM of that stature. That doesn't count on your books when it comes to building your team. You know, that's just an expense there for your owners. But that was one of my takeaways. And the other one, I guess, is too, like, if they're not going to pay him and he does want to stay in the NBA and be an executive GM, is like, you must be salivating if you're an owner of the Suns, the new Suns owner, the Wizards, the Knicks are always going to come up, the Clippers, as possible franchises that would be very interested in getting someone like Bob Myers to come in and try and either turn around their franchise or take it to the next level. So we'll see. Hopefully Bob gets paid, or he just goes, maybe just wants to, maybe sees how lucrative it is in podcasting and you know, sees the numbers we're doing. And it's like, yeah, I could do that.
That's absolutely right. Because he said, I think it was Mike Vorknoff that did the piece about him launching this podcast. Bob Myers says he doesn't have time to listen to podcasts.
Oh, geez. Well, that's
just time to make them. That's it. Just hop in the stew for a few hours.
Bob, it ain't that easy, Bob. You're going to have to listen back to your own podcast at the very least. How else are you going to get better? So you're going to have to listen to your own podcast that apparently you just slipped into Zach Lowe's podcast feed. But he doesn't know how to start a podcast feed yet.
It's one of the hardest parts, waiting for the approvals.
Yeah, Zach, can you just chuck this up here? All right, we'll see you there. Okay, as you all know, NBA Top Shot has partnered with the Players Association to identify the 50 players that define this season and the moments that define their greatness. The first wave we showed you last week, it was 10 guys. Now, this was selected based off their performance from tip-off through the end of November. They were, you see it here on the screen if you're on YouTube, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Ja Morant, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Shea Gildas-Alexander, Joel Embiid, Kevin Durant, Luka Doncic, and Steph Curry. We had some fun last week voting on six of those players, I guess, where they had two moments that we were like debating which one's better, which one should be their Top Shot moment at the end of the year. Again, this top 10 is just the first wave of players. It's not a ranking system from the Players Association, just the first group of 10 players. But Trey, you thought it would be fun to like come up with a list of maybe random guys, or maybe not of the superstar level, that you would like to see over the next four waves of players here in the Top Shot 50 that you hope the Players Association and the players vote on.
Yeah, I'm calling them random players because at the best, they are on the fringes of all-star discussion now. So, you know, maybe the second or third best player on their team. We're not talking about your LeBrons or your Jokic's here. We're talking about just fan favorites. And I'm even leaving off some of my favorites, like a Kuzma or a Şengün. So here's my five random players I hope make the Top Shot 50, because I feel like they've been important to this season. Unranked, as it is. I'll say, okay, my first choice, Brook Lopez, I think needs to be in the top 50 here. Early Defensive Player of the Year candidate, really was helpful to the Bucks on their hot start this season, scoring a whole bunch more. And, you know, I think that after he missed a lot of time last year, we've just seen that Brook Lopez is a really good player and has kind of been instrumental in the Bucks being a really good defense. Once again, you can also throw in the skirmish with Gary Trent Jr. and his interview afterwards as cool moments. So I think he has certainly been relevant to this season. Brook Lopez, you're making the list.
You want his moment to be ripping Gary Trent Jr.'s headband off.
I would love for that to be the moment, or at least find a way to slip it in there in the melt footage. Something along those lines.
Okay, Brooke.
Brooke Lopez. Also making my list. Another fringe all-star candidate. Aaron Gordon. Perfect role with the Denver Nuggets right now. Great offensively. Great defensively. I assume his moments would probably be one of the dunks from Christmas Day. Something along those lines. But he's got a ton of dunks for the entirety of the season. A little all-star buzz. Don't know if he'll make it, but he makes my top 50.
Okay, I like that one. Tass, you're all in well on done. Aaron
well,
Gordon?
Well done. I like these guys because they may not get all-star recognition. Maybe yes, maybe no. But also stand out with their plays. The dunk from Christmas Day, you know, decimating the Suns there. Minute 30 left, that huge airborne dunk. Like he's Air Gordon taking off there. And Brooke Lopez, I love the flick of the headband, but also the yelling afterward. That would have to be a part of it, and hopefully NBA Top Shot's cool with that. Just non-basketball play. Yelling and a flick of a headband. You want to make some headlines? There you go.
Yeah.
Next on the list, the Utah Jazz's Jordan Clarkson.
Whoa.
Heard a lot more about Clarkson earlier in the season, but he's been scoring like usual. Has certainly improved his passing. The new narrative around Jordan Clarkson is that he's super important to Jazz culture, which is why he may or may not be traded at the deadline, but I think he's been entertaining to watch, and I also like that he has two separate instances of putting up his dukes this season.
Yeah, he's squaring up.
So Jordan Clarkson, you make my list. Top 50. Yeah, Top 50 important guy.
I remember Tass early in the year trying to convince us that Jordan Clarkson was just as deserving of all-star love as Lauri Markkanen. I remember those days on the podcast. I feel like it's disappeared a little bit.
Yeah, those were the days. The Jazz were the one seed. They deserved two all-stars at the time, and they should have both been there. But things have fallen out for them overall, but. Surprisingly, Clarkson's numbers really haven't dropped off that much. This is Clarkson's best year. And to see him as a starter, pretty efficient, you wouldn't think. You wouldn't think that's Jordan Clarkson's game.
What are his numbers this year?
It's 21 from the floor. Decent percentages. You think
21
they'd be...
from the floor? What is that?
21, mean? Sorry. 21 points per game.
Okay.
21 points per game from the floor. He hits all his shots from the floor. He's 21-4-4. On 45 from the floor, 35 from three. So, you know,
okay.
He's doing it.
He's doing it. That's why he's one of the random players who makes the list.
100%.
Maybe the lowest scoring player to make my list. Steven Adams. He's got two big beefs this season. Had Shannon Sharp shaking in his cardigan. And I already know his moment will be the game-winning offensive rebound putback against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Steven Adams, just a fun guy to root for. Is he one of the top 50 players in the league this year? Debatable. Fun guy. Fun guy to watch celebrate a game-winning shot. Tell you that much.
Oh, my God, yeah. The big Kiwi, for sure. Yeah. What's he averaging? I wanted to see. 8.6 points per game. Yeah. I don't think they're going to get lower than that.
Yeah, probably pretty low. I mean, I guess maybe if Draymond makes it, he's right around the same area.
Right.
Maybe Alex Caruso, perhaps.
Alex Caruso is in my honorable mentions. Thank you very much.
Wow.
5.6 points per game for Mr. Caruso this season.
Give him a steal moment. God.
Yeah, Draymond's at 8, so Steven Adams scores more than Draymond Green. That's sort of weird when you think about it.
Put a
Is
pin
there
in
a screen we'll... setting series?
No, not yet.
Yeah, those will be in the Bone Cruncher packs coming in March, I do believe. My final name to add to the list, Bojan Bogdanović. Leading scorer for the Pistons, hovering just below 50-40-90 right now. And he's been a trade target since before the season even started, so I think certainly a relevant player. And, you know, it's kind of hard to tell who necessarily will make this list from the Pistons, and they deserve somebody because they are an NBA team.
Yeah. will they move him? That's a big question here as we get closer to the deadline. Bogdanović, do they sell high? I mean, let's be honest. You'd be selling probably the highest it'll be on him. I mean, I guess he could do this again next year, especially if Cade's back. My gut says he won't, but maybe they keep him because, like, hey, It's always nice to have some shooting around your young guy's tass and a vet and stuff like that. I don't think they're in any rush, but if you got offered something you couldn't refuse, I think it'd be silly not to move him.
Yeah, he is 34, so I think that plays a factor. Not just not just what he's offering on the table, but yeah, he'll be 34 in a couple months. So yeah, I wouldn't be mad either way if I was a Pistons fan if they traded him or they kept him.
Yeah. Okay, so who's on the honorable mentions list?
My honorable mentions list, it's just a short one. Buddy Hield is on my honorable mention list, but we can wait till he gets his 5x5. Alex Caruso, like Tass said, I believe he's leading the NBA in steal percentage. And Bol Bol, he's got to make it. The guy's hung around. He's had a great season. And, you know, he's a top shot favorite to begin with, not to mention an internet favorite.
Absolutely. All right, there it is. TK's call them random players who should make the top shot 50, and we're waiting on waves 2, 3, 4, and 5, which will be coming throughout the season, and we'll be having some fun with that, chiming in as those waves are released. And I'm just trying to figure out who will be the most shocking player. Again, this is the players voting on this. Like, who will be someone where everybody goes, whoa, really? Like Draymond Green, maybe, you know? Like, someone obviously with the pedigree, accolades, rings, but, you know, like an 8 point per game scorer. Not that he's not a great, great player still, but I wonder who it'll be. We'll find out.
We shall see.
Let's take our final break. When we come back, pick 'em results and task with tweet of the night. Don't go anywhere.
Danielle has taken up painting, oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, somebody call Alan Cummings, because I was a traitor last night when it came to the pick 'em. I went against my Raps because they've not been playing well. Kings been hot. It's in Sacramento. The line was Sacramento by 4.5. I saw that go down to 3.5 right before tip. But Tass took Toronto. And like we said, I mean, I watched it this morning. That was the best team defense I've seen from the Raptors all season long, keeping the very, very hot Sacramento Kings in check. So good win for Tass. You're 8-9. I'm 6-11. Trey also took the L with me to fall to 11-6. So tonight's game, Tass, where are we going? There's a bunch of games on for a Thursday night.
Yeah, six games, TNT doubleheader, and the second one on that TNT sked is Dallas at Phoenix. You remember the old rivalry from last year's postseason. They've played twice. They've split so far this season. This is going to be their third game. They both won at home. So that's why I'm comfortable taking the Suns -1.5. Very small line. They host tonight against the Mavs. Skeets are with me and Trey. Why are you taking the Mavericks on the road?
Who knows? This is guaranteed to be a three-point game either way. Dallas, every single game is Luka Doncic will have 40 to 60 points. 10 to 15 assists, and it'll come down to the last possession. So, you know, I'm just going with Luka here because he tends to have the Suns' number.
Yeah, that's a good enough reason as any to take Dallas there on the road. But, yeah, Suns just got a win by two. So hopefully that happens for me and Tassie. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
We're going to the college game, fellas, because there was a crazy scene. Loyola Chicago and Duquesne were duking it out. All of a sudden, an Uber Eats delivery guy, a DoorDash guy, walks on the floor beside a guy taking a three-point shot. During live play, the referee had to stop and look at him. I think we have the video, Jerome. This is absolutely nuts. The referee is looking at the floor to see if the player is stepping on the sideline. All of a sudden, he sees a guy come up who literally has a McDonald's bag and drink in his hand, looking to see who he's delivering it to. And all of a sudden, the ref has to say, "Oh, get off the floor!" I've never seen such a thing. Never seen such a thing. And apparently, he delivered it to somebody courtside. And he got his fries. He or she got his fries. I don't know who ordered McDonald's courtside, but somehow that happened. Can somebody explain that to me?
I mean, is it guerrilla marketing here? Like, this
smells
fishy.
You could do a better job, I think. Like, you barely see the McDonald's
bag. You just gave a tweet of the night.
Yeah, but you, like, is it a McDonald's ad? A DoorDash ad? An Uber Eats ad?
I meant more like the DoorDash, yeah, the actual service. That would be my guess.
But is it DoorDash for sure?
I think I saw a lot of people thinking it was Uber Eats, and I feel like I saw maybe somebody on Twitter confirming it was DoorDash instead. But who knows? Like, we're talking about both of them. Maybe they paid 50-50.
What about Postmates? Yeah, I don't know. I think this was just a mess up. I think a guerrilla marketing would have been done a little bit better.
Hold on, the mess up. The guy walks on the damn, like, remove the crazy part of somebody ordering DoorDash or Uber Eats to their seat in an arena. That of itself is pretty wild. How'd the guy get in, you know, without a ticket? Like, that part's weird. But then the guy wanders on the floor. Why? He's not delivering it to a player or the referee.
No.
That's the part I can't.
It looks like it's somebody in the first couple rows. And he's in the corner of the floor there.
So the food found its way to somebody in the front row?
I don't know if it was the front row. No, I don't know.
Yeah, that part's... I don't get why he's wandering on the floor. I just don't understand that part.
It feels like guerrilla marketing, definitely. Because, like, why would this happen? But the fact that there's not, like, a gigantic logo on the bag, that one throws a wrench into things. Yeah. Like, because we don't know the brand behind it. But there's no reason or possible explanation why somebody would show up to an arena with a bag of food and security be like, yeah, come on in, deliver away.
Yeah.
Unless it was pre-approved.
Yeah, could it have been in arena delivery? Like, or like the delivery person had to go to the stand?
In arena delivery, so you mean this DoorDash driver or Uber Eats driver only operates within the arena?
Well, yeah, it's weird. No, he went to like the McDonald's concession and said, hey, pick it up. And delivered it for basically a $5 fee because this person didn't go to the concession and pick it up. It's a crazy scenario.
It makes
no sense. You'd think with the internet we'd have all the details, but we don't.
We will.
Shout out to Sicko's Committee on Twitter for clipping that. And also I think we have a couple edits. Heavens FX did a couple edits of this gentleman walking into famous plays. Jordan over Elo while this guy's delivering McDonald's. Hey, Scotty, is this for you?
Is there anyone named Brad here? I have an order for Brad.
And then also Hank Aaron on the field, which is a great one.
Chasing
because
him.
Somebody did jump on.
Yeah, multiple.
Hammer
Craig Sager,
Hank,
right?
Way back when.
Craig Sager at
Craig
the
Sager.
End. Yeah, he's like on the field interviewing him. Yeah, or trying to.
The late great. Craig Sager and this guy, this McDonald's guy.
Well, I mean, look, I don't want to, like, go down this rabbit hole, but you know how we were skeptical of the kid with the Jimmy Butler sign.
Ooh.
And like, hold on, what's going on? Is this really real? This is a very specific sign, all that. Apparently he's done this and his sister have done this also in Golden State for Steph Curry. So is this a thing that they do? Not to say they're not from Argentina and they've come a long way, but like, I don't know. That's, I mean, which one are you? Are you a diehard Jimmy Butler fan or are you a diehard Steph Curry fan? Can you be both? Or is this just a part of your move to get the ball and the jerseys and the photos and the you know, the tunnel access? I was skeptical when we saw it, and I think I was right.
Yeah.
It's just like
skeptical
skates
may have come through on this one. I will say you can be a Steph Curry and a Jimmy Butler fan because they're in opposite conferences, so fine by me.
Sure.
But we'll know you're onto something if we see another delivery on court in the next 2 weeks. If that happens, then this is guaranteed a stunt.
And I was just trying to enjoy my Wednesday night. I was trying to read a book, and I see Jerome sends a message. Oh, this has got to be a stunt. This has got to be a stunt. And that sent me down the rabbit hole as well. I was checking the tweets.
Of the Jimmy Butler kid.
Jimmy Butler, yeah, specifically it's his sister. The brother and sister were at the Heat game. Apparently, she could be the Warriors fan, it seems like, right? Right, Jerome? And he is the Jimmy Butler fan.
It's entirely possible. I think they're just like big NBA fans, and it seems like they travel in. I went way too deep and started slacking the guys like in the middle of the night, like scrolling through. The one that I found here, and I just pulled this up, with a Google Translate, Cheto Google Translate for that, is when they went to the Warriors game, they made two versions, one for Jordan Poole and one for Steph Curry. And then you can see in the translation there, 8 days, guys. Poole in case Steph doesn't give me a ball. So... honestly, I respect the hustle.
I mean, credit to them. Yeah, respect the hustle. I'm with you, but that's what it is.
Worked on the fan side too, that is the thing we always love to see, working like on the team side. Like when we see someone hold a sign saying, I traveled X amount of kilometers or miles to come see this game, we're like, we're global. We've got fans all over the world. You can have whatever you want. And people are onto us.
That's right. It's happened too often. They've seen too many clips where so and so has come so far, and they get the photo and they get the extra gear. And
Locker room access, full video content, meeting Jimmy Butler. Honestly, I'm not even mad at it. I'm just so impressed.
I don't know. Well, we'll find out about this DoorDash Uber Eats stunt, I'm sure, soon enough. One of them will be claiming it, or this guy himself will go, you know. He'll have to be like, yeah, they paid me $50,000.
We caught up with a guy who wandered on the court. Right. Maybe it'll be a Super Bowl commercial.
Well, there was somebody who came. So these people did come from Argentina. Come far. They went all the way to Golden State. I saw their
two entirely separate trips, like far apart from each other. Yeah.
Totally.
And that's fair, but they know the move, like Jerome said. It's like, bring this sign, tell you how far I traveled, and
that if you invest that much, I think you get at least the photo if you travel that far.
It actually probably worked out better that Jimmy wasn't playing. They go to the locker room,
100%.
And they get to hang out with him.
Yeah.
And there was a fan, because it's Orlando, I guess, doesn't get as much pub, but last night some fan flew from Italy to see Banchero.
I saw that. Yeah.
They looked like they were Italian. I think they're from Italy.
Did he get a photo?
I don't know. I don't know.
He had a sign.
Yeah. He had a sign? All right.
Yeah, you got to have a sign. All right, let's call it there, guys. Wow. Really fell down the conspiracy NBA rabbit hole. The NBA All-Star Game starters will be revealed tonight on TNT. There's basically three things to watch for. Will Giannis maintain his lead over KD to become the captain of the East along with LeBron when we get our first schoolyard pick'em? He probably will. Does Kyrie keep his starting spot in the guard position over Jaylen Brown? I think he will, but I think it will be Kyrie and Donovan Mitchell, but Jaylen Brown could get, in theory, I guess, enough of the media votes and enough of the player votes to slip in there. And then who starts alongside LeBron and Jokic as that third forward in the West? Is it Anthony Davis, who maintained a small lead over Zion Williamson? It's probably impossible for anyone else. I saw a lot of people say it should be Sabonis, but he was ranked 10th last we saw in the fan vote. Like, I just don't think that the weighting's going to work there. So it'll probably be AD or Zion. So we'll find out tonight. And then tomorrow on the Drop Podcast, we will make our 2023 NBA All-Star Game picks, our first pass at it at least, where we'll make our 14 selections when it comes to the reserves. And that's always a fun podcast. Love Worst of the Week. Love a rapid fire fun. We'll have all your goodies on a Friday Drop Podcast. So join us tomorrow live at 10 a.m. Eastern. And hey, get your No Dunks tickets to our live show in Salt Lake City. Hell, we were throwing around the idea of, during this live show, drafting our NBA All-Star teams right then and there, two nights before the actual All-Stars do. I don't know. Could be fun. But we're going to have a blast at Salt Lake City. Tickets are still available. So use that link in the show notes to grab one and come join us on Friday night of All-Star Weekend in Salt Lake City. All right. Fun show, guys. Thanks for joining us live, everyone. We will see you tomorrow morning. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, for more on the Jerome Vestigation of these fans, follow Black Dragon Roll.
Brace the day, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.